Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams sale and get 30% off Duration, Woodscapes, and Superdeck products May 1st through the 11th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome in, everybody, to the Early Line, live right here on Sports Grid. I am Kevin Walsh, as always, joined by Donnie Wrightside. Donnie, how you doing?
Doing good. It is a Wednesday. The NBA Finals, very interesting last night. New look on the FanDuel Sportsbook. Some home run props in the can. We're ready to do it today, Kevin, on a Wednesday.
Yeah, we love a Dinger Tuesday. Might make it a Dinger Wednesday. We'll have to find out. We'll start things off, though, with our 7-7 top headlines, where in the NBA Finals, game number one goes to the Phoenix Suns. 118-105 is your final score. Phoenix covering as the game goes over. Chris Paul, Donnie, leading the way, 32 points and 9 assists.
Of course, Chris Paul led the way with that many points, playing 37 minutes, 12 of 19 from the field, 4 of 7 from three-point range, which equates to a plus 17, and yes, 32 points overall. We were watching the game together last night, Kevin, and said, ha, look at this. Chris Paul hasn't scored yet about 6 or 7 minutes into the first quarter. Yeah. That FanDuel odds boost doesn't look so hot now with Chris Paul to score 20-plus points and a Suns win. Well, fast forward about 2 hours. He goes over the 20 points. The Suns win. Very impressive last night for the Suns, handling their business on home court. And we're going to get to some interesting topics of how that pertains to game two with Giannis here,
Kev. Absolutely. No doubt about it. The finals MVP odds also on the move. But you mentioned Giannis, and his game two status does not seem to be in doubt, saying that he anticipates that he will feel much better by game number two. Giannis's health, Donnie, going to continue to be the most important thing to follow with this series.
Amazing stuff, like parachuting in last night, Kevin. Game one of the finals, doubtful in the morning, ends up playing at night, 35 minutes, and plays quite well, 20 points and 17 boards for Giannis. But just using the eye test, it looked like the same MVP Giannis last night. We'll see how that flips over to game two. It's got to be a nice boost for the Milwaukee Bucks to see their superstar athlete playing and being healthy. But the question is now, is like, okay, he played, he was healthy. They didn't win the game, lost by double digits. Does that mean Giannis has to play 40-plus minutes and be MVP level for them to hang in the series? It'll be fun to watch, but as fans, we love to see the superstars coming out to play in the NBA Finals.
No doubt we'll continue to break down that exact thought process throughout this hour. Also over at Euro 2021, one half of the final is set as Italy move past Spain in penalties. Penalties, the thorn in the side of that Spain side throughout Euro 2020, but it's Italy moving on.
Italy with a great win and also taking the 1-0 lead in that game, then losing the lead 1-1 as they headed into extra time, Kevin. It was clear to me. It looked like Italy was a little bit out of gas and just hoping that they could make it to penalty kicks. They did, and the ominous sign when you go first in the penalty kicks, Italy missed their first penalty kick. Oh, it's a done deal. It's over. Not so fast. Italy moves into the final, and they await their opponent, Kevin, which we all know who that's going to be.
It's coming home. It's coming home. We also had the match. DeChambeau and Rodgers get it done. Good for Rodgers finally being able to go out there and beat Tom Brady. The odds on the FanDuel Sportsbook were moving wildly throughout this match. Ultimately, though, it is Rodgers and DeChambeau taking home the win.
It's a great event here, and also let's keep in mind it is for charity as well. So the guys go out there, have a lot of fun, trade some barbs, play golf on a beautiful, pristine golf course. DeChambeau picks up the W here, so maybe he should have went on Twitter last night and said, "Hey, Brooksy, what's going on out here? Look at me picking up victories and money." But how about this? 6.3 million meals for Feeding America and 2.6 million to my brother's keeper. A good match all the way around. It will continue to the future, Kevin. And I think we're going to pick a little bit later in the show who we think should actually be in the next match.
Excellent, excellent stuff. Mm. Let's also welcome the radio audience into the fold here. Thanks to everybody listening to the early line on Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM Channel 204, the Mightier 1090, and all of our radio affiliates. Sticking with our 7-in-7 top headlines, the MVP at it once again, like only he can do. Shohei Ohtani, 7 innings pitched, an RBI double, and a win for Shohei as the Angels top the Red Sox.
Not a high strikeout night, but going 7 innings as a starting pitcher, being the best hitter on your team as well, an impressive performance. And I know the FanDuel odds are changing around on the new sports book here, but take a look. I did see it was still a minus 200 for Shohei Ohtani, same as it was yesterday. He's going to be the MVP, folks, and I'm going to look forward to the rest of the summer watching him get the 50-plus home runs, Kevin.
The show continues. Sticking with Major League Baseball, the White Sox lose Yasmani Grandal for 4 to 6 weeks. This White Sox team right now, heavy favorites to win the AL Central. Grandal, though, Donnie, is certainly a big loss for that ball club.
Yeah, multiple starters missing here for the Chicago White Sox throughout the season, but a heavy favorite to still win the division. That's a sign of a great organization here. Hopefully he can get healthy for the playoff stretch run. Chicago White Sox might do some damage here in the postseason, Kevin.
Absolutely going to be a great team to follow. One more headline for us here tonight. The Stanley Cup Final returns to Tampa Bay for Game 5. The Lightning, minus 235 favorites to seal the deal in their home building tonight, Donnie.
Yep, 225 yesterday, now rising here. Are they going to have another boat parade in Tampa Bay where they can maybe throw the Stanley Cup, Kevin, from boat to boat like Tom Brady did and make a great catch? We'll see. Maybe they close them out tonight. Maybe it head back to Canada for Game 6.
Yeah, they could just keep tossing around trophies in Tampa Bay, the home of the champions. Obviously, Montreal, as Donnie mentioned, they're going to look to keep this thing moving there. The total for that game also up and available at 5.5. We hit our first break here on the early line. When we come back, we'll start to break down everything that we saw in Game 1 of the NBA Finals.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
On Sports Grid, Kevin Walsh from Donnie Wrightside hanging out with you on this Wednesday morning. Time to break down game number one of the NBA Finals. 118-105, your final for the Phoenix Suns, winning, covering, and the game going over the number. We have to start, though, Donnie, with the news that came before we tipped off, which was Giannis played. Talk to me about your surprise level that Giannis played in this game and how we saw these lines shift when he was announced in.
Very surprised that he was playing in this game, Kevin, to be honest with you, because missing, what, 2 games of what he had missed before? You know, knee injury, not feeling all that well, coming back, parachuting in, as I like to say, from the clouds. It worked out really well in Milwaukee's fashion because now moving forward, this team should be ready to go with their superstar intact for the rest of the finals. Not picking up a win in game one, but we'll see where that leads into game two, Kevin.
Yeah, it was really interesting. The number went from 6.5 to 4.5 and settled up at 5. I, at one point, as Donnie and I were reacting to it live on In Play Sports Tonight, gave a very bullish number on Milwaukee that this thing should drop to about 3. I you pretty quickly realized that that was a little bit much, especially through Donnie's reaction. And I think part of that is, even if Giannis was back, it wasn't going to be a 100% version of Giannis Antetokounmpo. And he looked good. Better than I probably thought, but he still wasn't 100%. But not only that, Donnie, also the minutes for Giannis, 35, which is good, but for the NBA Finals, not enough. He went out there, had 20 points and 17 rebounds. We'll talk more about the Bucks in a moment, but the star of the show was Chris Paul, 32 points and 9 assists. And you mentioned it, he didn't even score in the first quarter.
Amazing stuff. You know, we're waiting for him to get to the free throw line to knock down two free throws, and we know the FanDuel odds, the odds boost, was him to score 20 points and a Phoenix win. I'm like, oh boy, glad we passed on that. But it turns out that he had a sensational game. Yeah. And now, Kevin, also the favorite to win MVP by a wide margin right now. Why is that? Because obviously the Suns have a one-game lead. We did see a lot out of Giannis, so his number is going to move up the charts also at the FanDuel Sportsbook. But just looking at Chris Paul here, the narrative is we have to give it to Chris Paul, Kevin, right? So now as we check in and see, Chris Paul had an unbelievable game one. If they win game two, that number is going to increase as well as the odds series prices. Fantastic game by Chris Paul. Double-digit win by the Phoenix Suns. What more can you ask for out of the Suns on their home court?
Look, we talked about this during a hot or not when the Suns were clinched into the NBA Finals. The idea that Devin Booker was being priced in front of Chris Paul. To say it was a mistake, it sounds a little bit harsh. We simply disagreed with that decision, and Chris Paul moved to the favorite before they ever played a game. Devin Booker is going to have to comfortably outplay Chris Paul in the same way Anthony Davis was going to have to comfortably outplay LeBron if he was going to take down Finals MVP. If it's close, it will go to Chris Paul. But from this first game, it wasn't close. Not to say Devin Booker was bad, but some might even argue to you, Donnie, that the 22 points and 19 rebounds from DeAndre Ayton would have gotten him some consideration. Ayton has been one of the most impressive players throughout this entire postseason, establishing himself as truly one of the best bigs in this league.
Yeah, young and ready to go right off the bat, Kevin. This isn't like we're saying, like, hey, you know what? This guy's been there, done that on deep playoff runs and heading into the NBA Finals. That is sensational stuff and exactly what you need on a guard-oriented team, obviously with Booker and Chris Paul out on the perimeter. You like to have somebody steady. You like to have somebody that's able to run the court as a big man, to get rebounds, clean up the trash. Sensational job by DeAndre Ayton in Game 1 of the NBA Finals. And if we just flip it over to the Milwaukee Bucks side of it, the guys that you needed to step up much more, we knew Middleton would be there, so that usage rate. But the one guy that really stuck out to me, 40 minutes, Kevin, 4 of 14 from the floor, minus 16 overall, Jrue Holiday. If you're expected to win an NBA championship, Jrue Holiday was added as maybe that missing piece to try to get you over the top. He must play much, much better in Game 2 if the Bucks are going to have a chance to survive in this series.
So this is the one issue that I have had with this Milwaukee team. And look, I don't mean to be a curmudgeon or overly negative about two teams that are in the NBA Finals, but there's been so much praise at each and every turn with these guys. They've not been good enough. There is a reason why I think if you gave everybody truth serum, they would acknowledge that neither one of these teams is the best team in their conference if everybody was fully healthy. And part of that is Jrue Holiday's wildly inconsistent performances. Like, Donnie, he went out there and was 4 of 14, gave them 10 points, chipped in other ways, 9 assists, 7 rebounds. But were you surprised? I was not surprised to see Jrue Holiday go out there and shoot sub 30% from the floor. We've seen him do this multiple times throughout this postseason alone.
No, you're right, and you got to step up 0 for 4 from three-point range. And again, the big indicator, the minus 16 as we take a look, and also looking at Giannis's number here, you're looking at a plus 1. He played 35 minutes. So if you extend that out maybe to 40-plus minutes, that's going to give the Milwaukee Bucks a fighting chance to try to get back into the series. Take a look at the NBA Finals futures here, updated now, Kevin, on the FanDuel Sportsbook. Chris Paul sitting at a minus 140. Giannis moves into a plus 500 number, which I believe is down from a 650 or so just a day and a half ago, because we weren't anticipating, Kevin, that he might not even be able to play until maybe game two or at least game three, or might not even appear till later in the series. So now that you see that Giannis is healthy, if the Bucks do win the championship, obviously it's going to be on the back of Giannis Antetokounmpo. But looking at that Chris Paul surge here, I completely agree with the minus 140. Chris Paul goes out again, Kevin, on his home court, drop 25 points for the Phoenix Suns. They win game two. He's going to increase that even more to probably minus 200 or higher. So quick question for you now, Kevin, if we look at, you know, chances of an MVP odds from the Milwaukee Bucks side, is it clear to you as it is to me? It's obviously going to be Giannis, even if Middleton goes out, leads the team in scoring just about every single night.
100%, because they're not winning the NBA championship if Chris Middleton is their best player. That's where you have to take this next level. If you look, Middleton's going to outplay him. Maybe somebody thinks that Middleton outplayed Giannis in game one. I disagree. Giannis in 35 minutes, 20 and 17, four assists, couple of steals, a block, and a plus one. Middleton, 29 points, seven rebounds, and four assists. Middleton hit five threes. He wasn't bad. He wasn't bad. He wasn't great. He wasn't bad. But they're not winning if Middleton is their best player. They need the MVP version of Giannis or something at least similar to that here. When you also look, Donnie, at the updated odds on this series, plus 250 now on Milwaukee is a sizable number. What stands out to me, though, +1.5 games for the Bucks, which would be either to win the series or force it at least to a seventh game, is plus 116. I still feel like there is an inkling from this book that this thing has a decent chance to extend past to that seventh game range.
Yeah, it does. And I think we're in for a long series now. Now that we know Giannis, or at least we think we know that Giannis is going to be healthy for the majority of this series coming into game one, we figure he's going to be healthier by the game, Kevin. Similar to like we saw Chris Paul when he got hurt against the Lakers. Not all the way back first game. Second game looked a little bit better. Third game looked better. I think Giannis is going to get much better. And also, Kevin, keep in mind, if we're taking a look at a price, let's just say plus 250, plus 300 in that price range to win the series for the Milwaukee Bucks. If we're taking a look at, again, at the MVP odds, Kevin, is it a better bet for us to take Giannis at plus 500 to win the MVP? Because if they win the MVP, his usage rate is going to go up, and he's probably going to be the reason why they do win the NBA title. Smarter bet to just bet the Bucks and say, well, maybe Giannis isn't going to be all the way back. Or just say, hey, I'll take the plus 500 price because if the Bucks win, it's going to be Giannis taking down the MVP.
Donnie often likes to credit me for my young, smart brain. Look at Donnie go. I absolutely agree. Early. That is the way to play it. I just can't see them winning this and they go, congratulations, Drew Holiday, on your finals MVP. It has to be Giannis if they are going to go out there and win this. The other big thing to watch is how they adjust everything from Brook Lopez's minutes to Portis's minutes to Giannis minutes. We'll continue to talk about this and Major League Baseball next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We are back right here on the Early Line. Time to break down Major League Baseball. And yesterday, the MVP took to the mound. I can't believe that actually doesn't cover it enough because both MVPs are pitchers. Shohei Ohtani took to the mound for the LA Angels, a minus 200 favorite to win this award. And this performance will likely only be buoying those odds. Goes seven innings against a vicious Boston Red Sox lineup, allows only two earned runs through those seven innings, only five hits, no walks for Shohei. Oh, and by the way, chipped in with an RBI double for himself and a run scored. A performance, Donnie, that really he is the only person in the league that can truly put forward on a consistent basis.
Absolutely. Seven innings pitch when you're really just looking for, hey, Shohei, can you give us five innings as part of the rotation? He is a dominant number one starter, and now also ERA back under 3.5 at 3.49 through 89 pitches, so right in his wheelhouse. That's a nice efficiency number here, Kevin, keeping it through seven innings and staying under 90 pitches. Nice win for Shohei Ohtani as a pitcher, and I do believe that makes him 4-1 on the season as I'm looking at the statistics here. And also, yes, we just saw the graphic. You know, how high can he go here? 30-plus home runs at the All-Star break. Strikeouts are a major part of his game on the mound. Doesn't seem to have any problems here. Oh, maybe Shohei was doctoring the baseball, Kevin. Maybe not so much as he goes seven innings and only gives up 2 earned runs, 5 hits, 4 Ks. So a little bit light on the strikeout range, but I think the Angels will take that, Kevin, each and every time he takes the mound. Impressive stuff. Looking forward to the All-Star break where he's going to do some pitching and hitting and also compete in home run derby. He is going all out, Kevin, to be the MVP in 2021. And I have his support.
I'll say as well, with the Angels in general, the talk around this team was always, man, I hope they can get Trout to the playoffs. Now it's, I hope they can get Trout and Ohtani to the playoffs. It doesn't help that Anthony Rendon is heading to the IL for the third time this season. They sit 9.5 games back of the Houston Astros. Perhaps they could make a wild card push, Donnie, but I'm going to try to remain optimistic on this team in some way, shape, or form that if they get Trout back, they can go on a bit of a run. Because there was a while where I was like, man, this team is absolutely hopeless. They have been playing better baseball over their last 15 or so games.
No, they certainly have. And here's the issue that you have that's seeming creeping up against them. It's a shame because when they're completely healthy in their lineup, it's a decent-looking lineup. But now Rendon goes back to the IL with, I believe, a hamstring injury. You know, Shohei Ohtani carrying his weight right now. When are we getting Mike Trout back? It'll be a lot of fun. And, Kevin, you know I'm a team totals guy. Second half of the season, you give me a healthy Rendon, a healthy Trout, and a healthy Ohtani. Now we're looking in that ballpark where primarily at night in L.A., you're getting 75 to 80 degrees, light wind blowing out. That's fantastic stuff. That's one of the teams that'll be on my mark. Because, you know, I talk about the Pittsburgh Pirates. Like, just give me a healthy Pittsburgh lineup, which appears like once out of every month. Same thing I'm looking at now with the Angels. They are a legitimate team to look forward to in the second half of the season, at least from a hitting perspective.
Yeah, absolutely. Speaking of hitting, 25 runs last night at Wrigley Field. 15-10, the Phillies topped the Cubs. The Cubs dropped their 11th straight game. The last time they won, they no-hit the Dodgers, and they've not won since. They are now 9 back of the Milwaukee Brewers for this division lead, 2 games below 500, and sat in 4th place in the NL Central when just a couple of weeks ago, this Cubs team was neck and neck with Milwaukee at the top of this division.
Astonishing. This team is way too talented, Kevin, to have a losing streak of that much. And we're going to talk a little bit later about maybe some pieces that might be on the move with the Chicago Cubs. And rightfully so. You have to show, Kevin, your ownership that you are in it to win it. And you can say, hey, we believe in ourselves, front office. Come help us out. Add another pitching piece. Add another piece in the field. Mm-hmm. Add another bullpen piece. Let's really make a run at this thing. The worst way to show your organization you're ready, Kevin, lose 11 in a row in a miserable fashion. Back-to-back nights giving up double-digit runs to the Philadelphia Phillies. And, oh, yeah, how about this one, Kevin? 5 of 6 last night with a home run, 4 RBIs, now up to 282 in the season. 1 Bryce Harper. Could the Phillies make a charge, Kevin, and get back into the MVP race for Harper? I don't know if it's going to happen, but that's a nice kickstarter here in Chicago.
First of all, Bryce Harper hit a home run last night, his 15th of the season. It was his first non-solo shot. Yeah. That's unbelievable. That is absolutely unbelievable. But not only from a results perspective, which they have now won 4 of 5, which includes 2 straight wins at Wrigley and taking 2 out of 3 against the San Diego Padres, which is impressive as well. But also for team total players like yourself, Donnie, I know there's been a waiting period to get back to this kind of lineup. Realmuto, Segura, Harper, Hoskins, Didi Gregorius. They now put up 28 runs. I know the weather at Wrigley is helping. Over the last 2 games, though, 28 runs is 28 runs. This Phillies team is certainly one to keep an eye on in a lot of ways.
You're exactly correct, Kevin. Like, look, I root for the Philadelphia Phillies. I do. But I'm more of a gambler towards the Phillies because it's 162 games. You know, you're not betting against your team or hoping your team loses because every win is so excruciating or every loss is so excruciating, I should say. But the fact that the Philadelphia Phillies have a very good hitting lineup, some questionable pitching on the back end leads me to believe, and also playing in the summer in small ballparks. They're playing in a small ballpark right now. Look at the run support that the Philadelphia Phillies are giving their pitching staff here. When you get back to Citizens Bank Park, same thing. 85 degrees nightly, it seems like. Wind slightly blowing out at Citizens Bank Ballpark, another great hitting ballpark. This is one of those teams to watch as well, because you don't need the Phillies to win all the time if you're an overbacker. You just need that bullpen to implode and get some clutch hits from that Philadelphia Phillies lineup, Kevin.
Absolutely. Well, they are a team as well, like Donnie just mentioned. When you bet against them from a team total, you always feel alive. You just need that bullpen to enter the mix. Another result yesterday from the NL Central that I think is worth bringing up is the Cincinnati Reds. Two sides of the spectrum here. Basically, the staple game for why Donnie so often is backing team totals. 5-0 start for the Reds, 6-1 lead going into the bottom of the eighth inning. They collapse and lose yesterday, Donnie, 7-6 against the Kansas City Royals.
Exactly, the poster child game for why I can shut it off in the fourth inning and not have any care about what goes on 6-9 because of a terrible bullpen by the Reds. And it wasn't even one of those, Kevin, where it's, let's just say, you know, 5-2, 5-3, 5-4, like, ooh, you know, 2-run home run in the ninth, yep, that'll give them the walk-off. An absolute implosion needed to take place. So if you're sitting on that Reds ticket up 5-0 after four innings, you're feeling really good about yourself. Me, I already shut the game off. Let's take a look at the NBA Finals and have some fun with this. But to sweat that out and see 6 runs come across combined in the eighth and ninth inning for the Royals at home at night, that was pretty impressive stuff by the Royals. But also keep in mind, we started the show yesterday talking about hitting weather and hitting conditions. We knew in Chicago, hot night, wind blowing out. Kansas City Royals, hot night, wind blowing out. A lot of runs are scored, so we like to put those games on a pedestal, Kevin. When you see that hot weather, try to find a way into that Major League Baseball game, even if you don't think maybe the team is so hot at this point and can win. Doesn't matter. As long as they score, it's all good.
No doubt about it. Also, a big result yesterday in the NL West, the A's against the Astros. The Athletics jumped all over this team, put up 6 runs in the first 2 innings. Did not score again. The Astros win their 5th straight game and win this one 9-6. All of a sudden, look who's back, Donnie. They can't beat the Tigers. They can't beat the Orioles. Now on a 5-game winning streak.
That's what the Astros do, 53-33 on the season. And by the way, you know, we have some big wins and big losses sometimes. I did not bet this game, but coming on the air last night on In-Play Sports Tonight, Kevin, I'm like, yeah, you know what? Got 2 pretty good pitchers on the mound. I think they keep it down. Roost closed down there in Houston. 9-6 final, 15 runs cross. So it's another game where you look at it and say, I don't know how people out here bet unders in games, because even when you have good pitching matchups out here in a tight divisional race game that you figure will be close down the backstretch, you know, 8 runs through 2 innings and off we go. Didn't even need any runs, Kevin, in the 7th, 8th, or 9th to still hit 15 runs on 23 hits. Overs are back in play, Kevin.
Yeah, also, for some reason, the 7 o'clock slate was like a sacrificial lamb, because we were on for an hour, right? Andrew McCutchen in the first inning against Jake Arrieta hits a grand slam, and in one swing of the bat, the Phillies were outscoring the rest of the slate. Nothing was happening in those early games. Want to mention the latest game that we saw jump off of the board, and that was the New York Yankees and the Seattle Mariners. The Yankees, 12-1. Giancarlo Stanton hits a 3-run homer in the first inning, and the Yankees never look back. The Mariners, this is because it's one of those things like, yeah, they beat Seattle, tell that story, walking. The Mariners have a better record than the New York Yankees here. And also, the fact that they got Tyone, Donnie, to go 7 innings of 1-run baseball, comfortably his best start for the Yanks this season.
Absolutely. And when you're playing in New York, the bright spotlights are on you. You're not playing well. The team should be trading players at the deadline. You know, is the manager going to get fired? You know what the best thing, the best tonic for that situation, Kevin? Go as far as you can away from Yankee Stadium. You don't get any further than going out to Seattle to play a baseball game at night at around a 10 o'clock start. So hopefully you're saying, boy, Most of the New York market is sleeping. So if we have a stinker again tonight, nobody's going to see it. Mm-hmm. But that's the way you like to wake up in the Big Apple. 12-1 victory, 18 hits. Now, Kevin, the question has been asked many, many times on the show. Does this wake the Yankees up with a big 12-1 win where they go through the rest of the summer and masquerade as maybe a chance to win the AL East despite being, what, 10 games back, 9 games back?
Yeah, I look forward to Kikuchi somehow shutting them down today. Domingo Germán giving up 14 runs. You know, yep. Disaster is right around the corner. Also, just want to mention the NL West yesterday. Padres get a win over the Nationals. The Giants drop their second straight game to the Cardinals. Dodgers can't take advantage. They lose again to the Miami Marlins, my favorite last place team maybe in baseball history. We come on back. It's time for Hot or Not.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome in, everybody, to the Early Line, back right here on Sports Grid. It is time for Hot or Not. We will start things off in the NBA. And I feel like Donnie's almost already been tiptoeing around this answer, but it is a good one. Chris Paul, the favorite to win Finals MVP, now at minus 140. Donnie, hot or not, he should be a bigger favorite to win this award.
I'm going to say hot, and I don't mean he should be like, you know, a minus 340 at this point right now to win it, but clearly the writing is on the wall where we all want Chris Paul to win the NBA championship if you're a Suns fan or just a fan of basketball outside of Milwaukee, but you also want him to hold that trophy as MVP for almost like a career achievement at this point. If the Suns win and he plays well, Kevin, I'm not even talking about he's got to go out and score 30 points every single night with 15 assists and dominate the floor. He just has to get to that 20-point range, you know, 8-9 assists a night. They win the series unless Devin Booker, Kevin, gets 40 to 45 every night where it's like, look, we can't just give it to Chris Paul. This guy's doing historic things, Devin Booker, right now. But after game one, CP3 is locked and loaded. If they win, he's getting it. A lot of value here. Absolutely hot. Minus 140 here on Chris Paul for me, Kevin.
You know what's incredible is this question was answered before we ever started our show. Put this, you know, hot or not topic in last night. It was minus 125 on Chris Paul. And the number now jumped up to minus 140. And sometimes it's difficult when you miss the best of the number. Because, again, before this series ever started, there were some 3-1s on Chris Paul when they were already secured into the finals. But this is still hot. And you can almost tell the answer to me, not even through the Chris Paul number. Does Devin Booker really feel like a good enough bet at plus 550, comfortably outplayed by CP3 in game one? Does it feel fair that you're betting Giannis at a lower number after a game one loss? No, not to me. Also, we have seen the odds to win a championship and the odds to win Finals MVP at times be mirrored for players. And Chris Paul is minus 140. They're minus 290 to win the NBA championship. I agree with Donnie. I don't think Chris Paul should be minus 290, but I don't think minus 140 is enough to make people balk at playing and laying that kind of number. I think you get to minus 200, Donnie. That's when I would pump the brakes. I think Devin Booker's odds could be interesting, but they would need to be pushed back. I would need the Bucks to get a game to play Giannis now at 5-1, down 1-0 here. I agree with you. I do think that this Chris Paul number has to move. I guess the question is, Donnie, how much more could this number increase if they do go out there and win the second game?
I think it increases markedly, and especially if Chris Paul has, again, a decent game. 21 points, 12 assists at this point, and they win again, unless Booker goes completely off the rails and does something historic at this point. So when you take a look at Chris Paul right now, do we think it's going to happen? But keep in mind, like, we still have the human element out here, Kevin. How many times have we seen big superstars in the playoffs already get hurt at this point? So if you're saying and you're trying to bet timidly into this and say, well, Chris Paul already got hurt, he's shown a propensity to get hurt in the playoffs, he might get hurt again, you can't actually bet that because Chris Paul is healthy and ready to go at this point, or COVID protocols come in and maybe snatch a player away. You can't bet into it. That's something unforeseen we don't know. But just looking at right now, Chris Paul, minus 140 here at the FanDuel Sportsbook, makes a lot of sense. And even if it gets higher, let's just say it goes to 180 after a Game 2 victory, 21 points, 10 assists for Chris Paul, but they're up 2-0. If they win this series, he's still in the driver's seat to win that MVP for me.
He absolutely... And you cannot lose sight of that. Devin Booker has to out... It can't be close. He has to outplay him and maybe outplay him by a lot to take this thing down. And here's the thing about DeAndre Ayton at 10-1. A part of me this morning is like, man, should I come in here, slam the table, Ayton, 20 points, 19 rebounds? No! No! DeAndre Ayton goes out there as 20-19, and they're like, man, look at how Chris Paul set him up in each and every way possible. Which he does. He does. But, like, Chris Paul is basically credited for the fact that Ayton stands 7 feet tall. Ayton's not winning this thing. He's not winning this thing. It is either Chris Paul, Giannis, or Devin Booker. I really do believe there's only three people that could potentially win the Finals MVP. Speaking, though, of Giannis Antetokounmpo, he was a plus one in that game, but he only played 35 minutes. And I say only because Giannis was logging 40-plus minutes in every non-blowout game that Milwaukee was playing once they were down 2-0 to Brooklyn. Being able to only go 35 minutes in the NBA Finals when his counterparts in Middleton and Holiday were comfortably hitting their 40-minute marks shows that the health wasn't there. The question, though, Donnie, Giannis needs to play 40-plus minutes if the Bucks are going to win Game 2, hot or not.
I think it's absolutely hot. You take a look at Game 1. I'm actually surprised Giannis played 35 minutes and played extremely well. 20 points and 17 rebounds. If you equate that, maybe give him into the 40s, that's what? At least 25 points, maybe 20 rebounds in a game. And theoretically, the Suns winning by 13 points in a blowout fashion. Controlled the tempo throughout the first quarter, second, third, and fourth quarter for this victory. He has to play 40-plus minutes. Now, here's the issue that's going to come back, Kevin, as we see players come back from injuries. What do the training staff always want to see from the player? How the reaction of the stress of that game appears on the knee the next day. Is there any swelling? Is he comfortable? Is he experiencing any pain post-game that we don't know about? Because that would in turn say to the Bucks, well, hey, if he's got a little bit of swelling here, we can't really push it. And maybe 30 to 35 minutes is the max, and we're lucky to get that out of Giannis at this point. But if he wakes up today, they do a couple stress tests, and everything seems fine, there's no reason to believe that that 35 minutes, Kevin, now turns into 40 minutes. And especially if you go down 0-2, you go back home, he might not even need to be subbed out for games 3 and games 4 if you want to win an NBA championship. Also keep in mind, over those 35 minutes he played, Kevin, a plus one, which means they were winning while he was on the court. Got to play 40-plus minutes. Absolutely hot for me, Kevin.
I totally agree. And if the game was not in Phoenix, then I think I would have actually leaned towards a not, because potentially Drew Holiday and Middleton and the others can go out there and play a little bit better. But if they're going to take one in Phoenix, Giannis needs to crack that 40-plus minute mark. And perhaps the hot or not tomorrow will be, will he crack the 40-plus minute mark? But I really do believe that they need to. But that one thing I will say is just to make this point before we move to our next topic here. I don't think the Bucks should feel all that down after losing the game, aside from the fact that you're upset to lose a game. You didn't play particularly well, and your best player was not at 100% and was not at a 100% workload minutes-wise. There are definitely ways for this team to improve throughout this series. We'll see if they are able to do that. We go to Major League Baseball. Donnie said we were going to talk a little bit about the Cubs and some decisions that they are going to need to make here, as they are now losers of 11 consecutive games. Donnie, hot or not, the Cubs should trade one of Bryant, Baez, or Rizzo at the deadline.
I'm going to say hot here, and it should not be a hot. Here's the point I'm trying to make, Kevin. The Chicago Cubs, where they play in Chicago, one of the biggest media markets in the world here. You have the three guys that, you know, two of them, I should say at least, led you to a championship not too long ago. Still roughly in the primes of their career. How are you selling this to Cubs backers who sell Wrigley Field out, spend thousands of dollars on season tickets, beers, items, you know, a worldwide marketing machine? You're honestly going to tell me that it's time to blow it up Think about this in the bigger markets, Kevin. The Los Angeles Dodgers, the New York Yankees. Like, you can afford these players. They're still very good players. Just because this season isn't working out, is that a reason to believe me for Kevin that you say, I'm going to get rid of two of our marquee players? Let's just say the key buy is get rid of Bryant and Rizzo. The point of that is what? To restock your farm system when you already have enough ammunition to sign both of those guys and go out and sign somebody else? It wasn't too long ago, Kevin, even a year and a half ago, where they were looking to add Bryce Harper onto that team and keep everybody together. So because they had a bad stretch of about 2 to 2.5 weeks, you decide to say we are going to be sellers at the deadline, but also sellers over the next year and a half, because how are you going to compete? You break the team down. That doesn't mean that you're going to go out and retool in free agency. You should be keeping these guys and adding to them because you have deep pockets as the owners of the Chicago Cubs. It is hot because they are going to trade one of those guys. And the one thing that keeps reminding me of the situation, Kevin, with Chris Bryant, there wasn't too long ago, a few years back, where the Cubs kept Bryant down in the minor leagues to keep another year of control over Chris Bryant. Scott Boras' exact words, you'll pay for this, Cubs, and it looks like they're about to pay for it, Kevin.
And that, so this is absolutely hot to me. This would is something that was going to be difficult for them had they been able to keep their winning pace. Because this isn't about Baez or Rizzo. All three of these guys, by the way, this isn't just about maximizing value. This is about guys that are potential free agents here. So that's why they are at the forefront of this conversation. And Baez and Rizzo are a part of their long-term plans. We know that Chris Bryant is not. If the Scott Boras and Bryant duo probably have anything to say about it. People remember when Bryant was on their way up, the Cubs kept him down for an extra year of control. They made it clear that they would pay for this. Boras clients always test free agency. He's not coming back. You're not a good team right now. And I think as you continue to lose game after game, watching Milwaukee win game after game just put you in a miserable spot here. I think it's absolutely hot. At this point, Donnie, I think it would be a mistake if they didn't move Chris Bryant. I understand big market, supposed to be a winning team. Chris Bryant is a person that those Cubs fans love. I think you absolutely have to be moving on from KB at this trade deadline here. We go over to the match and related things around this. We'll start, though, with the fact that throughout this broadcast, they were asking Aaron Rodgers about his offseason and whether or not he would actually play for the Packers in week one. They basically asked him, would he play against the Saints in the opener? He just kept saying, I don't know. I appreciated Charles Barkley saying, just tell me, don't worry, I won't tell anybody. I'll never let anybody hear your answer, which I loved from Chuck. But Donnie, hot or not, Aaron Rodgers will quarterback for the Green Bay Packers in week one.
Red hot. Absolutely red hot. He's not stepping away. And if you saw yesterday, I don't know why people even were interested in. Nobody opted out in the NFL, and then we had to have, you know, 16 beat writers tell us that Aaron Rodgers didn't opt out on the season. Like he was not going to sit, like he was going to sit this out if he didn't get his way. The Packers are dug in. This is the NFL. Whether or not Aaron Rodgers plays for the Green Bay Packers next year, they are going to make billions of dollars in revenue. So that's where the teams have control over the players. And do you think Aaron Rodgers in a legacy era where he's right at the tail end of his prime, couple more seasons, still trying to get back to a Super Bowl, maybe win his second ring, he's going to sit it out when he has a really good football team, Kevin? This isn't a bad team. This isn't the Jacksonville Jaguars where Aaron Rodgers is going, you better trade me because you messed up so much here. I have the worst team in the NFL and you still continue to draft on defense and not help me out on offense. If Aaron Rodgers steps back under center, they are immediately one of the favorites in the NFC to get back to the Super Bowl and possibly win another one with Aaron Rodgers. He's playing this to perfection over the summer, taking some time away, not having any strings, knowing that the Packers aren't going to reach out right now. Like, hey, Aaron, we're going to find you over the summer if you don't show up to OTAs and start doing your, you know, homework inside the building with us and studying your playbook. He's in a very good position. He's going to come back in and quote me on this, Kevin, when we can rewind this and say with Aaron Rodgers, when he goes back to camp and says, man, what were you guys talking about? I always loved the Packers. I always wanted to be here. This is lunacy. You guys made this up. That's coming to take place here. But absolutely hot, Kevin. Week one, Aaron Rodgers under center. Let's get after it.
I think it's a not. I don't know if he'll be traded.
No.
I really do not think he is going to play for that team week one. They're 2.5-point dogs right now in the FanDuel Sportsbook in New Orleans. Jameis Winston, Taysom Hill, Sean Payton, I don't care. That is not the line if there is a thought process that he is going to be available. there's just absolutely no way. I don't think he plays for this team in week one. We want to pick our version for the match. We'll squeeze that into the next segment, as we will also give out a hero of the night.
Sports gaming.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back right here on the early line, and I want to pick our version of the match. I'm excited about this. Donnie was letting me know who he has, so I'll let him go first here. I think I've got a good one myself. Donnie, if you could pick the next match, who would we see facing off?
Yeah, I think we have to keep Phil in this as sort of that mainstay, because he fits perfectly into this role, Kevin. A wonderful golfer, decorated golfer, but also loves to gamble and has the gift of gab. So he has to absolutely stay in it. Now, you want to rotate the other superstar on the PGA Tour. So I'm going to go Dustin Johnson. But those aren't the ones that are interesting to us here, because you can't just name guys on the opposite side, Kevin, and say, hey, you know what? Let's just throw these two guys together, even if they don't golf, it'll be funny. Mm-hmm. I need two legitimate golfers. So I'm going to pair Phil up with Steph Curry. Now, we've seen Steph Curry, you know, try to make some of the PGA Tour events or some of the lower-level events here. He is a legitimate golfer. But you know who I'm pairing up with, DJ, Kevin? Michael Jordan on the golf course. Absolutely massive ratings. So I get Phil Mickelson matched up with a very good golfer in Steph Curry. We do know Michael Jordan is a good golfer, but probably not to the degree that Steph Curry is. But you match him up with one of the best in the world with DJ. Ratings bonanza, Kevin. Make it happen.
Let me just say, Donnie has a gazillion-dollar idea there. It's so good that I have to think the folks running the match have thought about this. If MJ came and played in the match, it would be phenomenal. The great thing, too, is they could also just do, like, Michael versus Phil, and Michael would absolutely gamble his face off and be like, I'm beating Phil Jackson, no problem here. I, as well, would keep Steph Curry in the mix. Give me the other NBA player that I know can golf in Chris Paul. Here's the thing, though. I want things to be spicy. If the Suns win the finals and he wins finals MVP, he needs to show up with the finals MVP trophy, which is the one thing Steph Curry does not have. And then, Donnie, get Brooks in the mix, and of course get Bryce in the mix. Pair it up, rivalry galore, and let the spice roll.
I absolutely love it. I think it makes a lot of sense as well, and it looks like a fun thing. But also, I could see MJ possibly putting up the Hornets franchise on a hole versus Phil Mickelson.
Yeah. LaMelo Ball's just sitting out there watching, like, what's my future hold? I don't know. We'll see what Michael goes to wager on. Come on back, hour number two of the early line.
The only place to turn for expert sports gaming strategies and information. But we just call it The Edge. This.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.